Well, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing today? I love you. You're awesome. Your poems, they inspire me. I'm a poet as well. Not quite to your level, but anyways, welcome everyone here in the sanctuary. Welcome to everyone who's out on the patio, everyone who is online. It is so good to be here. It's been a while since I've been up here. A lot has happened. My beautiful wife, Amanda, is unfortunately not here. She's a little under the weather. I've been working a lot of overtime, which is good and bad, but she's pretty tired, so she's getting the morning off. So anyways, you're stuck with me, and I'll do my best. But anyways, it is so good to be here. If you're new, we are so excited that you're here. We have QR codes that are on the back. You can scan those. If you're super tech savvy, that wouldn't be what I would do. What I would do is I'd go to one of the three different places that you can go. You can go to the patio, and you can go to the two different booths here in the back of the church, and we would love to connect with you. This is an awesome church, and if you're new, we want to get to know you, and we want you to be involved and get connected, right? So you can be a part of this awesome family. And I can tell you with great certainty that this has been an awesome family for me and my family. To catch you guys up, you know, we've had a very interesting journey the last couple years. My son got sick. My mom got sick, got cancer. My sister-in-law got cancer. Amanda, my wife's father, got cancer. Unfortunately, he passed away. And my dad has been dealing with health issues for quite a long time, and he too passed away. I haven't been up here since that happened. So both my father and my wife's father have passed away in the last year or so. It's been a tough season. It's been a hard season, but this church has been awesome. So if you are new, this is a great place to call home, because I felt so much love and so much support, and my family has. And you know what? A lot of times I've had to share the negative stuff, but I've got some good news, some good things. My mother, who had breast cancer, is through all of her treatments, and she is cancer-free, praise God. And she is, unfortunately, she is newly widowed, but she is doing great, because she knows my father, who was a believer all his life, is in heaven right now. And we're resting in that, and we miss him. You know, I had my first Father's Day without my dad, and that was an adjustment for sure. But my mom is doing great. She's cancer-free. She's enjoying life. And I'm thankful for that, praising God for that. My son, who had E. coli, is still doing well. His kidneys are doing well. He's a healthy young boy who's rambunctious and doing all the things that little boys do. My sister-in-law, who had cancer, she's through most of her treatments. She still has one more surgery to go, but she too is cancer-free, praise God, and she's doing well. My wife, Amanda, she's an educator. She's been pursuing a job at Allen Hancock as a full-time professor. And, you know, she started applying for this full-time job 7 years ago, and she finally got it. And the timing was excellent, and that's huge for our family, because I work at Diablo. PG&E, you know, might lose my job. And so it's just total relief that she got this full-time job. And I'm so proud of her, because she's a rock star. She's an amazing teacher, and I'm so proud of her. So if you're watching at home, Amanda, I love you, and I'm so proud of you. I, through all this time and all these different sicknesses and deaths, man, dealt with a lot of anxiety, a lot of problems, a lot of issues. And one of the main issues I had is my heart was doing really crazy stuff. It would just be out of control. It would feel like it's going to come out of my chest. And I can, you know, thankfully say for like the last month, gone, done. And it is such a relief for me to just have a normal heart and just not be so anxious all the time. So thank you so much for all that you guys have done and all that you've meant to my family in this season. And I can thankfully report things are looking better. So let's celebrate next week. July 3rd, we're going to have an opportunity to celebrate as a family. So please, next week after service, after 11 o'clock service, buy your tickets. You can get those out on the patio. There's a lot of things to celebrate. You know, July 4th is an awesome time and an awesome holiday for us to celebrate. So please, let's do it as a family next week. And so don't hesitate to get your tickets. So one of the scriptures that, you know, that really means a lot to me in this season and really hit home is in Romans 8:38. It says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? That's awesome news. And I've been through a lot, and my family's been through a lot, but God has sustained us, and we're still standing here. And with that mindset, I'm gonna invite you to stand, and let's praise God with that in our mind, that we serve an awesome and mighty God who loves us, and nothing can separate us, no matter what's going on in our life, can separate us from the love of God. Amen? Let's praise God.
Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that we have a testimony. We thank you that you've gone before us and that you love us and that you see us. God, we thank you that you've done great things. We acknowledge that this morning. Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Amen. Faithful, you've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive. You break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, done great things.
So we sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah,
you have done great things.
Oh, yes, you have. So we sing it again. And chain, oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake in the light. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great things. Amen.
You're worthy of our worship. Thank you, Jesus.
every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you.
Sing holy.
And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Open our eyes.
To you, we ask, Lord, that you would just renew our hearts. God, we ask for a fresh outpouring of grace and mercy and joy this morning. God, you are worthy of our worship. We give it all to you.
So I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon you.
we press into you right now, Lord. And God, when we remember your prayer, Lord, that you prayed, you spoke words into motion that asked humankind to acknowledge that the things of this world are fleeting and to acknowledge that your kingdom is an eternal kingdom. And so, Lord Jesus, I just pray right now as we think of those words that we build our lives upon your love, God, would we recognize that what we're building here is not something that stays here. God, that what we're building here has eternal value, that what we're building here is for the next generation of believers who will put their lives in you and you alone, Jesus. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us not to see ourselves so highly. God, that we would step down from the podiums that we've put ourselves on. God, we want to put you back where you belong. Would you just have first place in our hearts and in our minds, God? Help us to see as you see and to hear as you hear, Lord. And in that way, Lord, would we acknowledge the grace, the joy, and the peace that you bring from your kingdom, God? Would you have your way in our hearts, God? Would you have your way in our minds? Would you have your way in our homes? Every single place that we walk, Lord, we acknowledge that you are there. I just pray that your voice would be louder. Would you speak louder to us? Would you speak in a way that we would be able to see and hear and know that it is you, God? God, I just pray for our world right now, Lord. I pray that we would understand your will, God, and that we would not be a people who are divided and angry toward one another, but instead, Lord, we would be a people who see one another and who love one another and who would listen, God, to one another. God, we just want to lay it all at your feet this morning. All of our expectations, Lord, all of our plans, God, we fully surrender that to your feet. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for seeing us and for loving us. Let's just sing, We Will.
And we will build our lives upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and we will put our trust in you alone, and we will not be shaken.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Yours, all my gifts and all of my strength. yes is yours. The darkest nights of my brokenness, all my joy, all my pain, all I have and all that I am, open hands, open heart.
We surrender it all to you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to stand on a firm foundation that is you. Father, that we're able to come this morning and give our lives to you, to put our eyes on you, to raise our hands and to lift our voices and declare that you are Lord, that you are the one that we live for and that you are the reason that we have life. And so, Father, this morning, we do give everything to you, Lord. We open our eyes and our hearts and our hands and all of who we are, and we give it to you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, and we believe and we know that your Spirit will fill us, that you are shaping us, And this morning, Lord, you have something for each and every person that is here. So, Father, help us to press in to see you, to declare, Lord, that we want to be the sons and daughters that you are shaping us to be. May we be a light in this world, in this community, in our families, to one another. We give you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as you're sitting this morning, we're going to continue our time in worship. What we're going to do is we're going to ask the ushers to come forward, and they're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And as they do that, I want to share with you an experience that I had. And I know sometimes some of us don't always understand the tithe and offering time and why we give. And what I want to do is share a story with you that was so impactful that I haven't stopped thinking about it. And that is because of your generosity that I was able to even experience this, and that was going up to Hume Lake. I went up, got to go up one day with Carrie. We went up there to drive up. We're supposed to be up there all week, but we only got to go up one day. And I get there at the time where the students are gathering to have their own chapel time just with New Life. And we walk in and, you know, we're saying hi to everybody. And then I kid you not, all of a sudden, before you know it, the kids are being directed. Now remember, these are 13, probably 13 to 19-year-old kids. They are pressing in against the platform. And they're being challenged to lift their voices and to praise God and to worship and to focus on nothing else, to not care about what anyone else in that room is doing, but focusing on the Lord. And I gotta tell you, there is not a more beautiful sound than a bunch of teenagers who are raising their voices, who are lifting their hands, who are literally giving everything they have to praise him. And sometimes I think to myself, church, I wish all of you were seeing that. Because that isn't where it ended. Those kids then took the challenge to start to testify about what God was doing in their lives. Man, I was crying. These kids were talking about how hard it was this last year, and yet God got them through it. They were giving praise and thanks for Pastor Philip, who has poured into their lives and is relentless in his texting and reminding them of who they are and what they're welcome to do. It was incredible, guys, to hear them say, it doesn't matter where you're at, what we just did worshiping you. Picture a young man standing up and saying, nothing else matters. This is real right here, right now. You guys, this happens because you give and because you pray and because you are the hands and feet of Jesus. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for impacting our young people. Thank you for impacting the people across this church, because guess what? They're going to be the next generation to come up and be up here and to be praying over us and to be leading us and to be pouring into this community. And so I just wanted to say thank you. And on that note, I also want to say, like, I hope we look across this room. You probably don't see many teenagers that are asleep, but you, like, and see that we are here as a family, that we are here for a reason this morning. We have the opportunity to grow and to pour into different generations. We are a multi-generational church. And so this morning you have an opportunity to be a part of this family and be active as part of this family, and that is to vote. We have board members who need to be voted for. If you're a member here, this is your opportunity to say yes, to be active, to partner with those that we believe are called to be on the board and direct this church, and to walk alongside all of us and Pastor David to make sure that we are walking in the will of God. And then we have another opportunity, and this is a multi-generational thing also, and that is that we have July 3rd, we are going to celebrate July 4th with having an event after church where we're going to gather and you can eat and we're going to play games. Now, I want you to think about it this way if you're thinking that's not for me. It's not just an activity we create because we're bored. This is an opportunity for all of us to rub shoulders, to gather together, to meet someone new, to play a game with someone who's not of your age, and to literally share a meal and to have a good time. So if you're here today and you don't know really where you fit, there is an opportunity for you to come and check us out. We are fun. We literally are. You can buy a ticket and have a chicken meal, or you can bring your own food. You can play games and partner with someone that's not your age. I don't know what the game is. I know we've eaten hot wings, and I know we've eaten watermelon. It's all kind of gnarly, but we do it, and you do it as a team, and then we just have a really good time, okay? So this morning, though, what's more important and what I want you to focus on right here, right now, is that you're here for a reason. And what you're going to do is we're going to hear the word of God spoken to us, read to us, and spoken over us this morning. And so I pray that the Spirit would fill us and that we'd have eyes to hear his word and to go deep as Pastor David teaches us.
When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Can we give God some praise for his word this morning? It is so good to gather, to move from the scattered community to the gathered community and to be in the house of the Lord. It's so good to have those that are gathered on the patio and for those at home that have gathered. Maybe you are with family or maybe you find yourself just you in a screen right now, but you are together gathering with us right now as we dive into God's word, as we are shaped by the Holy Spirit. Before I begin preaching from Ephesians, I want to just kind of speak to you as the people of God about this past week. We know that this past week there's been a lot of decisions and legislation and Roe v. Wade and things of that nature that have happened. And I just want to remind us of a couple of things because I think it's important as the people of God to have discussions about things that happen within our culture, within time and space, and ask ourselves, what does it look like for us to be the people of God in these particular moments? And the reason I say that is because I don't know about you, but I've talked to enough of you. You may personally not have experienced this past week, but I've talked to enough of you and I've watched enough conversations deteriorate online friends to friends, parents and kids, grandkids, all that kind of stuff. And I just want to remind us of a couple of things. And first and foremost, it is this, that we as the people of God represent the gospel first and foremost in this world. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And why that is important is because in our conversations, it's so easy to find ourselves trying to get caught up and trying to defend legislation or not defend legislation or movement or stuff or any of those types of things. And I want to encourage us of a couple of things because our voice is actually called to be distinctly different in our world. And the gospel is big enough for these type of really big conversations. One of the things that I think is important to recognize is that the gospel is bigger than legislation when it comes to our understanding of life. Jesus was always trying to point people towards a bigger understanding of what life looked like. Our understanding of sanctity of life actually doesn't come from legislation. It comes from Jesus's example. So this is what happens in the Bible. In the book of Matthew chapter 19, you have to understand that in the Roman Empire, until a child was 12 years old, they were completely devalued. There was no purpose for them. In fact, the child, not just infant mortality rate, but the child mortality rate was very low. So you weren't even considered really human until after 12 years old. And so even the disciples viewed children this way. And the reason we know the disciples viewed children this way is because in Matthew chapter 19, children start coming to Jesus and they push the children away. The reason is because they had been so shaped by their culture that they couldn't even see this new kingdom idea that Jesus was developing. And so Jesus said, hey, let the little children come to me. And in that moment, he declared that life and the value of life isn't about legislation, it's a kingdom value. It's something where when we see people, we say, man, they are image bearers of God. And that's how I view them. And the gospel encompasses children in that way. But the gospel also encompasses individuals who live in, who have fear. The gospel also encompasses people who are experience shame. And so we need to recognize that, again, in these conversations, that there are individuals that have to know that Jesus meets them right where they're at. In all of their thoughts and thinking and fear and shame and everything that maybe has been triggered this past week in some of our individuals, we need to know that Jesus is big enough to give us a picture of what the sanctity of human life looks like, but also it is big enough to meet us right where we're at. And so that is so important. So when you're having conversations with your grandkids and when you're having conversations with friends, don't allow the relationship just to simply deteriorate over legislation. Reach to a deeper, more profound way of having these conversations that is centered around Christ and his gospel. All right? And I just want to encourage you that in that today. Also, our understanding of sanctity of life is not just about kids. It actually moves all the way through from what sometimes are referred to from womb to tomb. All right? We understand that when we look at individuals, we see image bearers. That means when we see people who, when we see the unborn, we see image bearers. When we see kids, we see image bearers. When we see children with special needs and adults with special needs, we see image bearers. When we see the incarcerated, we see image bearers. When we see immigrants, we see image bearers. We see image bearers of God in every single person that we look at. And so it's not just about being anti-abortion as a follower of Jesus. It is about being pro-life in all its capacity. And when we have these larger conversations, we begin to paint a picture, not of defending legislation, but we get to paint a picture of the kingdom of God. And that is our heartbeat. And so again, let's not find ourselves deteriorating into conversations of right wing or left wing. Let's not have ourselves deteriorate into conversations of just simply legislation. Let's find ourselves anchored in who we are in Christ and the gospel and the kingdom of God and have conversations about what that looks like. The world, I can guarantee you this, the world is desperately needing another voice. They desperately need another voice, a voice that points people towards Jesus. And we as a church, you've heard me say this before, that we are the physical, empowered by the Holy Spirit, representation of Jesus still here on earth. So therefore, our conversations should sound a lot like Jesus. And our gatherings and our invitations to the table should sound and look a lot like Jesus. I pray you hear my pastor's heart this morning. I know I'm not always the most clear in my communication, but I just felt like watching and hearing and listening to what's been happening this last week, I just wanted to share that with you for a few moments. So we, as New Life, we will continue to advocate for life from womb all the way through tomb, no matter what the legislation is. We will continue to advocate for foster care and adoption and all kinds of pro-life alternatives. We will continue to journey with individuals who make the decision for life, but also those who within our state likely will make not the decision for life. We will still journey and offer grace and mercy and forgiveness in those spaces wherever we find people, because that's exactly what Jesus did. You hear my heart? Can I get an amen? So this is, I want you to hear my heart. I want you to know wherever your story finds you right now, that you have a place here at New Life. This is your family, and part of being a family is wrestling through our stories, wrestling through how we believe and think about things, and asking ourselves to be shaped further in the image of Jesus. I heard somebody say this last week. This is the last thing I'll say. I heard someone say this last week, and I think I've experienced it more over the last 3 years than ever before. I think we want easy answers at times to very complex things. And one thing that I'm reminded of is that right now in this season, I have never felt more like Moses and the people of Israel wandering in the desert. And they are being led not by an itinerary. They are led by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And they don't move unless God moves. And they wait and they listen. And they are quick to listen and slow to speak. And they're moving and they're watching for what God is doing. And they're being patient and listening and saying, God, if you don't go with us, don't send us up from here. And I feel like in today's time, when we have these types of conversations, we need to have the similar heartbeat. God, don't send me in this conversation if you're not going with me. Don't move me in this direction. Don't have me speak unless my words are filled with your spirit. God, I am waiting and listening on you, and I will act when you call me to act, and I will listen when you call me to listen. And that needs to be the posture of our hearts. We are not a people who are looking for the quickest, hottest take to put on social media to combat the people that we don't necessarily agree with. We are the people who listen to the Spirit and allow the Spirit's words to fill our mouths and our hearts so that we might be able to speak and paint a broader and more beautiful picture of the kingdom of God than people are experiencing right now. I just want to pray for us as we then transition and open up God's word. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be your people. I pray that in this moment, God, what this week's been like for me. And so, God, right now I ask that you would fill my mind with your thoughts, that you would fill my heart with your passion, that you would fill my mouth with your words, so that, God, what is communicated over these next few moments are not my words, but yours, not my heartbeat, but yours. Not my thoughts, but yours. And that because, God, we have heard from you, that we might be radically transformed and changed by your Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Ephesians, yeah. Hey, you're good. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to the Ephesians chapter 3. If you have a phone or want to take notes, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. I think one of the things that's interesting in Western culture, specifically in our individualized culture, something that's radically interesting to me is that when we look at the first century church and we look at the scriptures and we dive into the scriptures and we look at that first century church, it's a radically communal understanding of individuals, communities following after Jesus. But when we get to our context, so many times what we find are people who are just like, hey, I'm just trying to find Jesus on my own. In fact, the number of people who walk into our building and come here on a Sunday morning or sit on the patio or watch us online first, they're trying to find some understanding of who Jesus is in their life. But here's what so often they don't believe. They actually don't believe that if they come here, that they will have any type of support and any type of encouragement, any type of community. They think they're coming here to find Jesus, not a family. Like, they think that, like, hey, I'm on this journey on my own, and one of the ways to journey on my own is to go to a building and hear a message and sing some songs and then go home. But that is a radical departure from how we understand the body of Christ and what it means to follow after Jesus. We are individuals who not only follow after Jesus, but we do that in community with one another. And Paul understood this. And so when Paul is in prison and he's writing the church of Ephesus, he is reminding the church that they are not alone in this journey towards following after Jesus. They are not alone in being the people of God. It's not a me and Jesus journey. It's a us journey as we follow King Jesus. And so Paul begins this portion of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. And it simply says this, when I think of all this, and you should be underlining that going, okay, what's he thinking about? Like, if this is what Paul is writing, when I think of all this, what is it that he's thinking about? Well, the first 13 verses of this passage is Paul articulating two very important things, that he knows Jesus and he is called to reveal Jesus. So Paul's in the first 13 verses is like, hey, I know Jesus. This mystery of who Jesus is and his gospel and his life and his death and his resurrection, it came to me, and yes, it surprised me. But even though it surprised me, even though it came to me unexpectedly, I have embraced this calling to go and share and declare the good news of Jesus to anybody who will listen. And so we're reminded for Paul that he is being shaped into the image of God, in the image of Jesus. This is so important, being shaped into the image of Jesus for the sake of other people. See, it's interesting. When we think about us and Jesus, we think, hey, God, will you just shape me for me? Will you shape me for my family? Will you shape me for like being a better mom or dad or a parent or employee or everything? And it all becomes really focused on Jesus, shape me into your image for me. But Paul doesn't have that understanding. If he did, when he was in prison, he would be praying for himself. But as one in prison, he's not praying for himself. He is praying for those who are hearing the gospel and trying and are going to experience some of the most challenging and some of the most challenging times of their life. Have you ever met someone who can't help themselves but reveal Jesus? Like, have you ever talked with somebody and they can't help themselves, but every conversation leads back to something that Jesus did in their life? Dana's grandmother, Grandmother Perry, was one of these types of people. You could literally be sitting at her and her kids and her grandkids would be around the table and somebody would say, I love puppies. And Grandma Perry would look at them and say, you might love puppies, but do you know who loves you even more than you love puppies? Like she would, like that was her mentality. Like she was gonna like turn every conversation. I want French fries. You might want French fries, but you know what you need even more than French fries? Like everything would turn back towards Jesus not because she was inauthentic. And this is why Grandma Perry could do that. See, some of you have met people like this and you can tell that they've got an agenda with you. That wasn't Grandma Perry. She didn't have an agenda. She had literally fallen in love and had such a deep and profound relationship with Jesus, and she was so excited about it. She couldn't help but talk about him. Like everything she did turned back to her understanding of who Jesus was. It's like talking to somebody who just had grandkids or just had kids or maybe even has a new boyfriend or girlfriend. It's interesting. Everything kind of circles back to that. It's like talking to Pastor Gina about anything and the Giants always end up coming up or something like that nature. But this is the thing. It's like some things you just, they are so on your heart and so on your mind and so shaping you that you can't help but talk about them. And Paul is essentially saying this, do you know him? Like when I think about this, I want you to know that I know him and he has called me and I want you to know him. And the reason we know that Paul wants these individuals to know Jesus, and the reason we know that Paul wants us to know Jesus is because of what he says next. I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Paul's in prison. I think he needs his inner spirit strengthened. Paul's in prison. I think he needs God's glorious riches. Paul's in prison. He says, when I think of you, when you come to my mind, when your names begin to scroll through my mind, I am so overwhelmed that I can't even stand. I fall to my knees and begin to pray and ask God in all of his glorious riches to strengthen your inner spirit. I mean, think about that for a moment. Paul's saying, I love you so much that I'm going to intercede for you. And as I'm reading this, I'm like, shouldn't that be the hallmark of what it means to be a gathering of the people of God? Isn't that what it should look like to be the church? See, again, we have it in our minds that we choose a church based on, do they have the best programming, or do they have this for my kids, or do they have that for my kids? Do they have an awesome youth pastor who's going to take my kids to Hume? Do you know what? That is not what makes Phil an awesome youth pastor. Taking our kids to Hume is not what makes him an awesome youth pastor. Can I tell you something that I know about this man? I know that he is praying for your kids by name, that they would be strengthened in their inner spirit. And so when you are looking for a church, you should be asking yourself, are the people that I am gathering with, and you should be asking yourself, it is my responsibility to look to my left and look to my right and look at the people around me and to know that my pastors are doing this, that we are praying for each other to be strengthened in our inner spirit. Why is that necessary? Because life is really, really hard. Life is hard. Kenneth just recounted his last several years. Life is hard. We're talking about the last several years and having conversations and tension in our families. Life is hard. And so often we choose the gathering that we're going to go to based on convenience and preference. Do they have the right music that I like? Do they have the right preaching that the person's funny enough and smart enough and this, that, and the other? Is it at a right time for me? And church, I don't know that we've always lived up to this, but can I tell you, I want to be a church that when somebody walks in, that they would know that they have, that they're not alone in walking in this journey with Jesus, that they have a body of Christ. They've got a community of faith that are with them, that are praying and interceding for them, that God would strengthen them in their inner spirit. It is not just me and Jesus. It is we and Jesus. Because that understands that life is challenging and it understands that life can't be lived alone. And that requires more than great music and great preaching and great programming. And it doesn't involve, hey, here, you know what? Your life's a mess. Your marriage is a mess. Your kids are a mess. Your career is a mess. Just pray this verse and everything will be better. It doesn't offer simple solutions. What it offers is, I am here with you, and we're going to go to the God of the universe, our great Father, and all of his glorious riches, and we're going to pray that his glorious riches would encounter your circumstance and situation, and I'm going to press in, and I'm going to intercede for you, because I love you, because I care about you, so that when you walk in, your reason for coming is, I just need to hear that song that I love one more time. Shouldn't be I need to hear just a message. You can get great content. Believe me, you can get better preaching on the internet than right here. You can. You can get better music than you can on the internet or on, if you still have CDs, you can put in your CD. You can get better music than here. What you can't get is people who love one another so much that they're willing to fall to their knees and intercede for one another and encourage one another and say, God, would you strengthen her spirit? God, I'm confused in this world. I'm frustrated in this world. My mind is swirling in this world, and I need to know that there are people who are praying for my inner spirit to be strengthened, and that we can ask God. This isn't something that we go, hey, let me give you a little piece of self-help advice. Let me give you this. No, no, no. That's not what we do. We go, hey, we're going to go to the God of glorious riches, and we're going to ask him to come and give us wisdom and come and give us direction and come and give us an order our steps in this world. That's what we're going to do. We're going to ask the God of glorious riches to come and move in our lives. Verse 17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how long, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. In the most tested moments of life, it is not my head knowledge, but my heart knowledge that keeps me anchored to the Lord. What do I mean by that? Have you ever try to have a conversation with somebody who just lost a loved one from cancer or some type of debilitating disease, and you're sitting there and you know in your head, in your greatest theological framework, that that person, because they trusted in Jesus, are with their Heavenly Father, and that should be comfort, but in that moment, that person's still completely heartbroken. And so what you're praying is that what keeps them anchored to the Lord in those seasons. What keeps you anchored when you find yourself grieving over a prodigal child that isn't coming home? What keeps you anchored when you watch a loved one riddled with addiction and you don't know what to do? What keeps you anchored is not the head knowledge, but it is the deep love of God that you have encountered that you actually can't quantify. You can't quantify it. Spouses, I want you to think for a second, or friends, you can think of a friend right now. I want you to think, what are the top three characteristics that you love about your spouse or your friend? What makes them your best friend? What are the things that you love about them? Now I'm gonna call you out, and it's quick. I know, you better have an answer, because this shouldn't be hard. How many people have a spouse that's funny? Raise your hand, all right? How many people have a spouse that's smart? You better all be raising your hand. How many people, and you don't have to raise your hand anymore. Think about these words. How many people have a spouse that is kind and compassionate and beautiful? Now think about this. If I found somebody who was kinder, funnier, more compassionate, more beautiful, smarter than your spouse or your friend, you would logically have to love that person more than you love your spouse. And everybody who doesn't want to sleep on the couch tonight would say, whoa, 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 time out. No, 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 no. Because there's something in love that cannot be quantified, that you say, I love my spouse. I love my best friend. I love my kids. I love this person. And there's something I can't quantify about it. And when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, when you encounter Jesus and his love for you and you experience his love for you, and it's not just head knowledge, but that head knowledge becomes heart knowledge because you've experienced, all of a sudden, There's nothing that would cause you to leave because you're sitting there, why would I leave? I've experienced the greatest love that I could ever have asked for. I've experienced, like, I know that God loves me as I am and not as I am supposed to be. He's not waiting for me to earn his love, that God radically and authentically loves me. And I know how wide and how deep and high it is, but I really don't at the same time. I can't even fathom it. It's so big. Like these kids, they went to Hume, and some of you have been to marriage retreats, and you get all the information. You've been to 100 Bible studies, and you have all the information. You have all the, you've attended faithfully on Sunday, and you have all the information. But can I tell you something? My heartbeat is not for you to know all the information. My heartbeat is that you would so encounter the love of God that it would surpass your knowledge. It would surpass information. It wouldn't just be this logical exercise for you that I believe in God, but that you would know how wide and deep and high the love of God is for you, so that when life gets difficult and hard, and it will, you'd sound like the disciples who looked at Jesus at one point when he said, hey, if you want to go, you can go. And they look at him and say, where would we go? Where would we go? All of our hope is in you. All of our joy is in you. All of our peace is in you. Everything that we are is anchored in you. Do you know his love for you? We should, not should, we are called to be a church that prays that people would know that type of love of God. Not that they would become a Christian and somehow adhere to the same values that we have. Not that they would simply just say, hey, I agree with New Life on these tenets. But that they would know the love of God in such a deep and profound way that it would transform their life. I don't want kids just coming home from camp. I don't want you walking out of this service week after week and just having head knowledge. We've seen what purely head knowledge does. It doesn't transform people. And so our prayers for one another should be, God, would your Holy Spirit move in such a way that we would recognize how high and deep and wide your love is for us? Because if we did, God, I believe that that would transform our lives. Older generation. Average statistic right now is that kids are walking away from their faith at 18 years old. And yet, in a logical way, they've had access to the best music and the best preaching and the most content of any generation on earth, the best programming, the best kids programming, best youth programming of any generation on earth. And yet kids are still walking away in droves at age 18 from their faith. And you want to know why? Because we have too many lackluster churches that aren't falling on their knees and praying, God, would you declare your love for these kids? I don't want to just take them to an activity. I want you to declare, and I want them to know how high and deep and wide your love is for them. Parents, yes, get your kids to student ministry. Yes, bring them to church. Yes, gather around the table. Yes, study God's word together. But man, we should be falling on our knees and praying that prayer. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, we should be falling on our knees and praying that prayer. Say, God, I want them to know how wide and deep. Because if they know that, God, even if they wander, I'm trusting that because they know your love for them, that they will come home. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. I want to pray that you would know how wide and deep and high the love of God, that you couldn't even describe how deep the love of God is in your life, that like you would know God and he would know you so that you might be filled with the fullness of all who God is. Because when you're filled with all the fullness of who God is, people will see Jesus in you. See, some of us gather in church and we're trying to find our silver bullet. God, I want you to do this. I want you to make me a better spouse. Or you might be praying, I want you to make my spouse a better spouse. I want you to find the right person for me to spend the rest of my life with. I want you to this career. I want this. I want that. I want that. And they're all very individualized goals in our mind. But I wonder if we would narrow down all of those asks to simply just this ask. God, would you anchor me in how deep and wide and high your love is so that I might be filled with the fullness of who you are, so that when I am a husband, when I am a wife, when I am a parent, when I am an employee, wherever I am, that people, I'd be so full of Jesus that people would just see Jesus in me. That they would just see Jesus in me. When they would hear my words, they would hear Jesus's words. When I would think, I wouldn't think with the thoughts of this world, but I would think with thoughts that Jesus would think with. When I act, my actions would be Jesus. People aren't turned off by a church that reflects Jesus. They're turned off by a church that says they follow Jesus, that says they want to be filled with Jesus, but when they show up, they find individuals who are doing anything but that. And so Paul knows this church in Ephesus is going to go through incredibly difficult times, and they're going to go through persecution, and they're going to go through challenges. He knows that it's going to be difficult for them to stay in oneness. That's why in 1 Corinthians, which was one of the better churches, Paul is writing, and he's saying, hey, these Jews and Gentiles and these individuals who don't think like each other, act like each other, and they're not all on the same page on everything, he's writing to the church and saying, hey, love is patient, love is kind. He's not writing to individuals about the unchurched. He's saying, this is going to be hard. It's going to require an inner strengthening of your spirit by the Holy Spirit. It's going to require a filling of you with all the fullness of God and his glorious riches. Guess what? Glorious riches don't run out. Like if I started passing out dollar bills today, eventually I'd get about 3 rows back and I'd be out of them because that's all that's in my bank account. But glorious riches just keep going and 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 keep going. The well is always full. So God, because of your glorious riches, God, would we just be willing to trust that he will do immeasurably more than ever we could ever think or imagine? Like, on the Central Coast, real estate's really expensive, right? Imagine all of a sudden, though, you meet a billionaire. And instead of using your bank account and your resources, the billionaire puts his arm around or her arm around your shoulders and says, hey, where do you want that house? Well, Ocean View would be nice. Okay, how many bedrooms do you need? Like if I was doing it on my bank account, all of a sudden I continually shrink the vision for what that house could look like. But if I got a billionaire next to me, all of a sudden it starts expanding because I'm like, man, there's resources here. See, my prayer for you and our prayer for each other would be that we wouldn't see what God can do in our lives and wouldn't see what God can do in our community and wouldn't see what God can do in our families based on our resources. Our prayer for one another should be that we would pray that God's glorious riches would come into our lives. And I'm not talking about monetary wealth. I'm talking about God's joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I'm talking about an agape love. I'm talking about being the people of God who are so full of God that when people look at us, they say, I've heard about this Jesus. And man, those followers look a lot like him and sound a lot like him. So here's what we're gonna do. And it's gonna be awkward and odd, especially if you're new, and I apologize for that on one level, but I don't on another level, because this is what it means to be the people of God. Here's what I want you to do. If you came with somebody today, I want you to kind of gather. You can stand, you can sit, you can turn, whatever you need to do. You can turn towards those individuals that you came with. If you see somebody who is not with somebody today, I want you to call them over. I know if you're on your own, this is gonna be awkward and stuff. You won't know them, but this is what you're doing. You got like 20 seconds to do this, all right? 20 seconds to gather in smaller groups of people with your family, with people. I want everybody with somebody, and then I'll give you the next step, all right? Find someone to gather with. Don't walk out the doors. Don't get awkward. You're part of a family. Everybody gather with somebody. Make sure if you didn't give each, like if you don't know the person, introduce, give your name. If you're on the patio, I want you doing the same thing. If you're at home, I want you doing the same thing. If you don't have anybody at home, I want you posting online, letting people know that you're there. You don't need to gather for great content. You don't need to gather with the people of God for great music, but you need to gather with the people of God for moments like this. So here, in our hearts, I'm gonna pray this prayer. I'm gonna pray on behalf of all of us. And I want you in your heart, or you can agree in prayer out loud, however you wanna do that, I want you to pray this prayer for the people in that you're gathering with, that you're holding hands with, that your arms are around, that you're next to, that you just gave a hug and you don't even know who they are. Like, I want you to pray this prayer. God, when we think about all this, about what Jesus has done for us, God, we fall to our knees and we pray to you, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. We pray, God, that from your glorious, unlimited resources, that you will empower every individual who we're praying in a circle with, who we're holding hands with, who we're embracing, who we've just typed our name on a chat. We pray that from your glorious riches and unlimited resources, you will empower every single one of us in our inner strength by your Spirit. God, we pray that Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust in him. And we pray the roots of our faith will grow deep. Deep down into God's love. And keep us strong, because we know, God, we know that the world's gonna have challenges. We know that cancer and disease will come. We know that confrontation will come. We know that we won't always understand everything. But God, may we have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep your love is. May we experience the love of Christ in such a way that it anchors us in you, even though it's actually too incomprehensible for us to fully understand. God, will you make us complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God? Now all the glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish. God, would you accomplish infinitely more than we could ever think or imagine in the lives of the people who are gathering here today? Would you simply blow our minds with what you can do? Would you reveal plans and purposes and visions and dreams in this congregation right now, God, that we haven't even thought up yet? And so glory to you, God, in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever, and all God's people said, amen. Would you stand? Yes, you can give God some praise this morning. Would you stand with me? So here's what I pray. I pray you didn't just come to church and heard a message and sang some songs. I pray that you came to a family. And in the family, that you prayed for one another. It's just a beginning point. Just a start of what God can do when we look to Him first and foremost. And now that you have received, now that you have received and been reminded of how deep and how high and wide the love of God is, now go and freely give. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. See you next week.